Let Ferguson's knowledgeable product experts kick off your next kitchen or bath project with the latest in touch and hands-free faucets, high-performance gas ranges, or low-decibel dishwashers. They're really quiet. Request your appointment today at FergusonShowrooms.com. The best decision ever.
Visit Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery in Nashville to discover a wide selection of Whirlpool appliances. From refrigeration to laundry, there's no brand better than Whirlpool. Find out more at FergusonShowrooms.com.
Welcome back in 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Joined now by our buddy Jim Wyatt, who is down in Atlanta covering the Super Bowl. How many is this for you, Jimbo, Super Bowls that you covered?
20 that I've covered, which makes me sound old. It's hard to believe it's been that many. And I went to one as a fan of the Buffalo Bills in Atlanta back in the day. So 21 that I've been to total, 20 covering the game.
So 21 Atlanta, 21 total, three of those in Atlanta then, because you covered the Titans Super Bowl down there.
That's exactly right. Yeah, my first one is a fan. I grew up a Bills fan. I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about that before. I'm not talking about the Jim Kelly Bills. I'm talking about going way back to OJ and through the lean years of the Bills. And when they finally made it to the Super Bowl, the late Art Demas, who's a great friend of my dad's and a friend of our family's, was an official working that game, and he got me a single ticket. And I drove to Atlanta and watched the Bills lose. That was their fourth Super Bowl loss in a row. And never dreamed at that time. I was covering high school sports for the Tennessee on a part-time basis. Never dreamed I'd be in a position to cover the Titans in a Super Bowl there 5 years later. And then, hard to believe it's now been 20 that I've covered. So last night, not the best of all those games, but I've certainly seen worse games in the Super Bowl as well.
Well, I wondered where you fell on this, because I know you're a big baseball fan, and baseball fan is totally okay if somebody wins 1-0 and it's a pitcher's duel and it's tense and, you know, somebody scratches and claws to get one run some way and they win. We're talking about that game as if it's a classic, but when it's a football game and defense rules the day, a lot of people are just going to call it a bad game and move on. It wasn't a bad game. It's just, it was all about the defense.
Yeah, I agree. I do think, and I've been listening to you guys, I've been driving up the road from Atlanta. I do think it was, you know, some of the offensive play was sloppy as well. I think that contributed to it being an ugly game. I mean, anytime you can't convert third downs and there's so many punts, it just kind of slows the game down. Yeah, I appreciated the defense that was played, but I certainly have to say that, you know, Jared Goff picked a bad day to have a bad day, and I felt like the Patriots did just enough to win, and I think they felt like that's all they were going to have to do to win the game. They got a late drive from Tom Brady, who continues to do what he does in big game situations, and once again, you see the Patriots walk away with the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
Cool to see a couple ex-Titans put a ring on it, as Beyonce would say. Brian Schwenke, who's on injury reserve for the Patriots. Yeah, not happy he's on injury reserve, but cool to see him get the ring. And our buddy J-Mac, to play with your twin brother in a Super Bowl and to win it. And I love the comments from Robert Kraft. I think you had actually retweeted the video where Robert Kraft was basically saying, hey, you really enjoyed this, and it was fun to see someone enjoy it like it's new, because our guys around here are just so used to it. We love seeing you enjoy it, you know, for your first time. I love that storyline.
Yeah, I actually shot that video.
Oh, it's your video. There you go.
Yeah, so I was standing next to Jason. Obviously, when you're covering the Super Bowl for Titans Online, you're looking for Titans angles, and this is Brian Schwenke, the first guy I saw when I went in the locker room, and certainly happy for him. He wishes he could have played, but he's been on his reserve since November. But you get the ring, and certainly he's had a nice career that's included, you know, several stops. But for Jason McCourty, I've talked to him so many times during Super Bowl week just about Devin and about going to the game the week of the game and leaving before the game and not wanting to be there for the game itself because he didn't want to jinx them. And he stood outside the stadium in Arizona and kind of peeked through the window, wouldn't go inside, and then he did go inside for the trophy presentation and to hang out on the field. And he was retelling the story last night when I was talking to him. His mother said, hey, Jason, you know, touch the trophy. And he he backed away from it like, you know, he catched the flu by touching the thing. And because he said, hey, you've got to earn it before you can touch it. So the fact that he's there and wins one, you have to be happy for him because he's such a good guy from his days in Tennessee. He really paid his dues. And I was at his locker when Robert Kraft came walking to him. And that's what he said, Vic. He was complimenting him about his enthusiasm. I mean, some of these guys on these Patriots, they have done it before and gone through it again and again and again. Jason was celebrating every moment along the step away, winning the division title, winning the first round, winning the AFC title game, winning the Super Bowl. And he was like a kid after the game. He was so excited. So you can't help but be happy for him.
What was your feeling on Gronk? Do you think that was it?
Yeah, he sure seemed like he was, you had some youthful exuberance about him after that game. I mean, he loved him. He's fun to be around and enjoyed the week. Showed he could still play. I mean, he's maybe this is it. I mean, because you heard some of that chatter last offseason. But with that said, it's not going to surprise me if he comes back either.
Well, Jimmy, Julian Edelman, the MVP of this year's Super Bowl. Adam Schefter tweeted this, and I want your take on it. He said, as the MVP of this year's Super Bowl, Edelman is playing himself into a spot in Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been a really good player for them, and I think he obviously played a great game last night when everything else looked sloppy. He was the guy that was always making plays. You know, does winning, having a bunch of Super Bowl rings on your resume help you in that case for the Hall of Fame? Yes. Have there been some other receivers that have played the league that don't have Hall of Fame rings like he does that probably deserve to be in it? Yeah, I would say so, too. So that's a tough call there, and I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but be interested to see where the committee falls on that one.
We'll start talking, obviously, free agency and the league year end, and then we'll talk draft stuff. You know, all the draft plans were put out this week, some sketches and things, Jim, that people are going to be able to see. But Arthur Smith going to speak tomorrow for the first time. He and Dean Pease will be made available. I think a lot of us feel like we know Arthur, at least some, but I know there's a lot of excitement from fans to hear what he'll have to say.
Yeah, and it's funny, a lot of people it's all they've been waiting on is to hear him, because you've heard from players talk about him, you've heard the GM and the head coach talk about him, you've heard competitors talk about him or guys that spent some time with him, and now it is his chance. You know, how much will he reveal on what things will look like? I think he's still going to be in the process of getting prepared for the season. And obviously, don't know exactly the personnel that you have because you don't have the draft, you don't have free agents yet. But Arthur Smith is a very smart guy, a guy who's paid his dues, a guy who's very well respected. I think the more people see from him, the more impressed they'll be by him. I'm looking forward to seeing what he has to say tomorrow. And then obviously, Dean Pease had a decision to make this offseason as well about his future after having an off season or having a season where he dealt with some health issues and had to do a little soul searching himself. So I'm curious to see what he says about his outlook moving forward as well.
This league has done such a good job of making itself a year round league. And again, we all, we have free agency, then we turn our attention to the draft, but it was neat to see some of what Nashville is going to look like with the draft here, with the renderings and things of how downtown will be used and the Symphony Center. You can tell the NFL, A, saw that uniform unveiling and thought, that's what we can do here. Look at this, 35,000 people to see a jersey. But also, just using the entire footprint of downtown Nashville, it's so compacted, you can put a lot of different stuff in a lot of different places and get there real quickly.
Yeah, it's going to be spectacular. And that is, initially, I think the league was leaning more toward, I shouldn't speak for the league, but I think the buzz was that the draft, the main draft where the guys go on the stage was going to take place at the Sin, and you'd have to figure out a way to create more space there. You have to figure out a way to buy tickets. You have to have other viewing areas where people could watch the draft around downtown. But I think as the league made more site visits here, and I talked to Matt Shapiro, who is with the NFL events staff. I talked to him at the Pro Bowl, when I first heard of the renderings, and I know we had to wait until Wednesday to go with it, but he said the success of the Titans uniform unveiling and just what the city looked like during that and the opportunities that you could have by having the stage there on First and Broadway was too good to pass up. And that was what kind of led them to ultimately decide that's where the stage needed to be. Mm. So it's going to be a mammoth stage. If I ask them how big the stage is going to be for the draft compared to what it was going to be, what it was for the uniform unveiling. And I think Butch Spiridon said that, you know, that'll be the stage for the uniform unveiling. It'll look like a small wing compared to what the draft stage is going to look like. I think it's going to be 20 feet above Acme down there on the corner, which tells you the height of that thing. So it's going to be mammoth. I think you're going to have video boards, obviously, up and down Broadway. You're going to have other tents and areas are going to go up and down First. Obviously, everything is going to take place across the river. It's the biggest footprint for an NFL draft to date. And I think all you got to do now is keep your fingers crossed and hope the weather's good that weekend. And if it is, it's going to be a spectacle.
But Butch Spiridon also told us, Jim, on Friday that or Thursday that the Korean Vets bridge will be able to be lit very quickly, meaning team colors as they pick, which will be very, very cool.
Yes, I mean I know Butch has got a lot of stuff up his sleeve from things that could, that will unfold on the weekend, and obviously, some of this high talent, this top talent that he's talking about for the yep. concerts will be unveiled here in the coming weeks as well. Yep. So it's going to be cool, and I think it's going to open up people's eyes across the country even more about what Nashville has going for it.
Jim, great stuff, man. Appreciate it. Great work at the Senior Bowl, then the Pro Bowl, then the Super Bowl, and now it's on to the draft.
Okay, appreciate you guys. Have a good week.
All right, TitansOnline.com. That's where you can get all of his content. By the way, Arthur Smith, Titans offensive coordinator, will join us tomorrow at 4:30.